Is God like an egg? Have you heard that? Perhaps not. It is hard to describe God, and any illustration is going to fall somewhat flat. God is three in one, three persons, one God, the Trinity, but it's hard to understand. How can we understand the very nature of the God who made us and the whole universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Church Father Augustine said of the Trinity, he who denies the Trinity will lose his soul. He who tries to understand the Trinity will lose his mind. We might not understand exactly, or even a bit, how the Godhead works, but certainly we see in our passage today that each person is involved in our salvation, of our coming into God's kingdom, or in the language of John chapter 3, of our being born again as Christians. This is an exciting passage then. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, the story of Nicodemus, Jewish leader, Pharisee, who comes to Jesus to find out more about God's kingdom, what it means to be one of God's people, living with God as king. And as Jesus teaches Nicodemus the way into God's kingdom, we see each person of the Trinity playing their part in this rescue, this salvation work of our being born again. We're into our summer Sunday together services. It's a slightly shorter sermon than usual. Do have your Bibles open. The points on the screens may well help. James prayed, so let's dive in. God's kingdom is the topic at hand. And Jesus puts before Nicodemus some challenging truths. How can we come into God's kingdom? The first thing Jesus teaches us up on the screens, that spiritual rebirth is the only way into God's kingdom. Verse 2, teacher, we know you're from God. We've seen your miracles. We know something about you. Is Nicodemus starting to work it out, beginning to understand who Jesus is? We know, verse 2, no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus claims he can see something about God's kingdom in Jesus. But Jesus turns the tables. Verse 3, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This will throw Nicodemus. Cannot see it? I'm in it. A Jew, a Pharisee. But Jesus is starting to turn Nicodemus' worldview upside down. Nicodemus, you can't even see God's kingdom unless you're born again. When Nicodemus thought he was well in God's kingdom on the basis of his religious upbringing, his commitment to God's word, his regular attendance to worship with the rest of God's people, even his extensive theological training, Jesus has just said none of that counts. You cannot see God's kingdom, come into a right relationship with God unless you are born again. There's nothing about any of us or anything we can do to bring ourselves into a right relationship with God. Anything we think is worthy is just a sticking plaster when Jesus says we need a whole rebirth. If you're trying to live a good life and do the right thing, if you've always been part of a church, perhaps this church, if you read your Bible each day, if you've had theological training or something similar, if you think Jesus is a good model for life, a great and powerful miracle maker, someone special worth listening to, those things may well be good things, but Jesus says none of them will bring us into a right relationship with God that we each desperately need. Verse 3, Jesus says we cannot see God's kingdom. We cannot come into a right relationship with God unless we are born again. Once we realise that, we find an even bigger problem. We can't give birth to ourselves. Dead men don't bite. If you're a fan of Treasure Island, you'll know that quote from Robert Louis Stevenson. Or if you're not a reader, dead men tell no tales. That's Pirates of the Caribbean. How about this one? Dead men cannot give themselves new birth. That's more or less Jesus' quote. Dead men can't do anything. This spiritual rebirth, this new life Jesus says we need to come into God's kingdom is just not something we can do for ourselves. Someone else must do that for us. Spiritual rebirth is the only way into God's kingdom, but we don't have the ability to come to God ourselves. Nothing we say or do or work out or decide ourselves. We cannot come in to God's kingdom ourselves. Someone else must give us the new life we need. And thankfully, Jesus has the answer. It's the next point on the screens. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual rebirth is the only way into God's kingdom. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. How do you react when you hear something outrageous? The best excuse I had as a teacher, I've shared this from the front before, for someone not handing in their homework was that they told me their cat got shot. It was so unbelievable that with some scorn, I told him I would phone home to check it out, which I did. And Mum said, yes, the cat got shot with an air gun and we're at the vets all night. You couldn't make these things up if you tried. How can someone be born again when they're old? Verse 4, can they enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus just doesn't get it. You couldn't make these things up if you tried. Listen again. Jesus answers in verse 5, truly, truly, seriously here, I'm not making it up. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. This spiritual rebirth, this new life Jesus says we need to come into God's kingdom, isn't something we can do for ourselves. Someone else must give us the new life we need. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, born of water and the Spirit. Jesus takes Nicodemus back to Ezekiel 36, verses 25 and 26. God's promise to give his people new hearts, new lives. A new birth. I will sprinkle clean water on you, God says. A new spirit I will put within you. The water, a symbol in Ezekiel of God's work, of the work of God's Spirit to give his people new birth. Water and the Spirit in Ezekiel, it's one thing, it's one event, God's Spirit given to God's people to give them new hearts, new lives. Spiritual rebirth. There is one thing Jesus has in mind in John 3:5, a new birth by the Spirit, spiritual rebirth. It's not two events. It's not water and the Spirit. This isn't about Christian baptism or an extra blessing of the Holy Spirit after baptism, but water and the Spirit. We might use the phrase belt and braces to mean one thing, complete or comprehensive. It's not one event with a belt and one event with the braces. Spiritual rebirth is the only way into God's kingdom. Unless the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, does his work, verse 5, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. We've been born of the flesh, verse 6. Our mothers gave birth to us as part of humanity. But our spirits, only the Holy Spirit can give us spiritual life. Spiritual rebirth is a work of the Holy Spirit. Again, forget our credentials. Nicodemus has far more than we ever will. Forget anything we think we bring to God's table, our coming to church or serving the church, our commitment to the Bible, baptism or confirmation, or the fact that we receive the Lord's Supper. None of these things provide entry into the Christian faith. Spiritual rebirth is the only way into God's kingdom, and this is a work of the Holy Spirit. And it is, verse 8, all God's work and God's initiative. We do not know when the Holy Spirit will come or which lives he will enter and give spiritual rebirth to. We cannot control him or force his hand to do the things we want him to do, but we can see his effects when he comes. The fruit of the Spirit of those born of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, transformed lives evident. Spiritual rebirth is the only way into God's kingdom, a work of the Holy Spirit. That's our next heading already on the screens, through faith in the Son, through faith in the Son. There's been a bit of a to-do with Harry and Meghan and their royal titles this year. Not a royal, but our own Rob Dillingham was canonised at Chichester Cathedral recently. It wasn't as painful as it sounds. We love titles in this country. Duke, Duchess, Canon, Reverend, Doctor, Major. But titles, even spiritual titles like Reverend or Canon, are no guarantee of spiritual life or rebirth by the Holy Spirit. In verses 9 to 12, there's this back and forth between Jesus and Nicodemus, who really doesn't get the whole spiritual rebirth thing. And he's slightly short with Jesus in verse 9, who pushes back at him, verse 10. Are you the Reverend Canon, and yet you do not understand these things? Nicodemus might know his stuff, but he doesn't see to believe who Jesus is. Because Nicodemus doesn't have the spiritual heart to see what the evidence Jesus has presented, the miracles, are pointing to. That God's King has come, bringing in God's kingdom with him. And we can believe Jesus. I recently read about a project in Edinburgh, a social action project to help homeless people back into work. Some were being trained up as tour guides around the city. And it's a genius idea because who knows the sights of the city and what they're talking about better than those who've slept in and lived in the alleyways and doorways all around it. We can believe Jesus. Verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Who else knows what they're talking about better of spiritual realities, the things of heaven, than the one who came from heaven? We can trust Jesus when he speaks of such things. There is no greater expert on the Christian faith than Jesus Christ. He's the one in whom life is found. That's what the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and eyes to. Spiritual rebirth is a work of the Holy Spirit. Through faith in the Son, we see clearly who Jesus is and why he came. Why did Jesus come? Well, verse 14, Jesus points Nicodemus forward to the new life-giving work of the cross by pointing this teacher of Israel back to the Old Testament once again, to a time when God provided another rescue, new life through a bronze snake lifted high by Moses. If bitten by a snake, the people could turn and look at the bronze snake and God would heal them from the poison within. You can read the whole account in Numbers 21. Lifted high on a wooden stick, trusting in God's word of promise through the snake. Jesus makes the application for us all in verse 15. Lifted high on a cross, risen and lifted up to heaven. A call to trust in God's word of promise of new life and rebirth through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Spiritual rebirth, eternal life, is there for the taking. It is a work of the Holy Spirit through faith in the Son. As one writer puts it, a simple trust in what God has done through Jesus on our behalf. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Look at him without delay. For through him, through faith in him and his work on the cross, dying in our place that we might have his life, it's the doorway into the kingdom of God. And do not let go of this truth. Keep believing in Jesus today and every day, because it's only through faith in the Son that we find new life. And what an encouragement for our lives, for how we use our time. The decisions we make about our lives, our priorities in life, what will draw me, us, closer to Jesus? What will strengthen me, our faith in him? God's work in our lives is truly amazing. God bringing us into his kingdom, into a right relationship with himself. His Spirit bringing us to new life through faith in his Son. Even in the midst of our weakness and failing. The mess we've made of our lives and of other people's lives. Perhaps we sometimes wonder why, when we don't deserve it. Why would God do this? Well, because God loves us. Spiritual rebirth is the only way into God's kingdom. It's a work of the Holy Spirit through faith in the Son. The final heading on the screens, originated in the Father's love. I only let my children do some of the things they do because I love them. They sneeze all over me. I clean up after them, toys in the room or sick up the walls. I finish work in time for dinner because I love them and I want to spend time with them. I am far from a great father, but that's a father's love for his children. I don't love anyone else's children like that. Who wants to change someone else's child's nappy? God the Father has a love infinitely bigger, incomparable to my love. And not just a love for his own children, but a love for the world. A love for the world so big it conceived the saving work of the Son on the cross with him before time began. The Father's love is the source, the origin of our spiritual rebirth. New life, eternal life originated in the Father's love. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because God loves us. And God doesn't want us to remain outside of his kingdom in a broken relationship with him, with the eternal consequences that brings. Our spiritual rebirth comes through faith in the Son, a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but grounded, originated in the Father's love. Each person of the Trinity plays their part in this mighty rescue, the spiritual rebirth we so desperately need. Father, Son, Holy Spirit working together, each in their own way, for our salvation. It is a cause for great rejoicing for those who've received the gift of new life, who've been born again, because God is working for us in all his fullness. This is our God. And as we finish now, I'll finish with words from John Calvin to fuel our praise and our prayers. Calvin writes, "The true looking of faith is placing Christ before one's eyes and beholding in him the heart of God poured out in love." Let's pray. Father God, by your Spirit, we pray that we might look at the person of Jesus through the eyes of faith and see in him and his work for us supremely on the cross, your heart of love poured out for us. Stir our hearts to prayer and praise of you each moment of each day. For the glory of your name in our lives and in your world. Amen.